Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and for the blessing to just be in church. There's nothing like church. You know, we get things here that you can't get anywhere else. You can't get this kind of fellowship anywhere else. You can't get this kind of worship and praise, singing praises to the Lord, congregational singing, special music, and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It's just this church, and praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47, Wednesday nights, we're continuing our study in the life of Joseph. Joseph, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And there are so many practical applications that we learn from studying the life of Joseph. These biblical principles that are very much still for us today, and these applications. It's just a tremendous study. I trust it's been a help to you. We are coming to the end of the study, but what a blessing it's been just to learn how God worked and has written down and preserved the life of Joseph for us to learn these practical applications for our lives today. The theme of the entire life of Joseph has been God is able to work all things out for good. He's able to do that. And, of course, we have Joseph telling his brothers that as we'll come to the end of the story. And then we find in Romans 8:28 that biblical principle established in a New Testament Bible verse. It's a truth. God is able to work all things out for good. And as long as we make the right decisions, then God will work things out for good in our life. And what a blessing that is. Joseph, as we studied last week, Joseph has been positioned by God to work for Pharaoh. Now, God orchestrated it all. He designed it. Worked on both ends. Worked on Egypt and Pharaoh. Worked on Joseph's family and everything else. And God, all through it all, God had a purpose and a plan for everything that He allowed to take place in Joseph's life. Now, He didn't cause it all to happen, but He allowed it. And through allowing it, He would work something good out of it. And so that we've seen that all the way through His life. But when it comes down to it, where God wanted him positioned as a right-hand man to Pharaoh, because God had a purpose and a plan for Egypt, and he was going to bring his children, Israel, to Egypt and let them grow there and be strengthened there. And the plan is coming together, but he positioned Joseph to work for Pharaoh. Now, we studied that last week, the idea of Joseph had to first and foremost be a faithful steward of God's. But in order to be a faithful steward of God's, he also had to be a faithful steward for his employer, for Pharaoh. And so he was doing everything he could to make Pharaoh a success as the Pharaoh of Egypt. And Joseph was doing his best with the wisdom and knowledge and talents that God gave. And he was able to strengthen in all of Egypt, and therefore strengthening the position of the Pharaoh, who had enough faith and trust in Joseph because he saw God working in Joseph's life. And so he had faith in God. And that's why he gave Joseph the liberties he had. And by doing that, by Joseph's testimony, and he saw God in Joseph, and Joseph told him, I'm just a son of my father, who is one of the patriarchs of God's chosen people, Israel. And when that happened, and when he understood that, then when it was time, Pharaoh allowed him to bring his family to Egypt. Pharaoh asked for Jacob's blessing upon his life, the shepherd blessing the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. I mean, it was just all God worked this together, but God was working here. So we've been studying some of these things. Tonight, as we study here that Joseph now has made Pharaoh and Egypt, put them on the track to be the greatest nation, continue to be the greatest nation on the planet Earth, that God was working there to do that so that they would somewhat be a protection for Israel, so they would grow and multiply underneath that protection and in the best land available to them. Joseph brought all this to his family, and he was faithful to God. He was faithful to Pharaoh. And Joseph prepares tonight, we're going to be looking at this, Joseph prepares for Jacob's death. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read here in chapter 47. Joseph was all excited about bringing his family to Egypt. And knowing that God was in it all and what he was able to prepare and be able to take care of his family, his father. And now we find here in chapter 47, verse 27 to the end of the chapter, verse 31. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel, and I've got this underlined right there, must die. Must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me, and he swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we come to you, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in church. And Lord, I know that each one here has had different things they've been dealing with since Sunday, and so much is going on. And yet, we've taken the time because we've prioritized the time to be in church. And I pray, God, that you would bless each one for their faithfulness to be here on this Wednesday night. And I pray, God, that you would just meet with us in a very special way, and that you would speak to each one of us as we have need to be spoken to, that spiritual truth that would challenge and encourage and strengthen us. Bless tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Joseph prepares for Jacob's death. Now, verse 27 and verse 28, we find that Israel, or Jacob, dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, the very best land in Egypt. We studied how God blessed them with that. And they had possessions therein and grew. While the rest of Egypt was becoming indebted to Pharaoh, and they had to give him all their cattle and all their lands, and now they become servants even in their own land. Israel had not had to do that because of Joseph. He was taking care of them. They didn't have to give up their cattle. They didn't have to give up their land. They were just borrowing the land. But they didn't have to pay tribute on the land. And because of that, they were able to flourish with the food that Joseph was providing for them. They were able to flourish in the situation that God had put them in, underneath the care of Joseph. And they multiplied exceedingly. Now, we know that they went in around 70 strong. They're going to come out of Egypt between 2 and 3 million strong. They increased exceedingly. Well, in verse 28 it says, And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. God's plan is working. Just as he had prepared everyone for this. He prepared this Pharaoh to have a love and appreciation for Joseph and Joseph's God, which allowed him to be a blessing to Israel. Best land possible, God put him there. Its plan is working exactly the way that God had purposed it. Verse 28, it reveals to us that for 17 years, Joseph honors and cares for his father. It had been about 22, 23 years that he was taken away from his father. And his father lived that time believing the lie of the devil because his sons lied to him and told him that Joseph was dead. And he had to question whether or not that what he had taught Joseph concerning the promises of God, whether they would be true now or not. And for he wasn't able to accomplish anything during that time, even though God was still working. He just was not aware of how God was working in Joseph's life. That happened for some 22, 23 years. Now Joseph reveals himself to his father. His father understands now how God had been working all along through this. And for 17 years, now he's in the land of Egypt and experiencing what God had prepared and experiencing how God was working his life to work all things out for good. And Joseph, his son now, is caring for his father and the rest of his family. And in doing this, we find that Joseph is honoring his father, Jacob. He's caring for him. But the story fasts forward 17 years. During that 17 years, there's not a whole lot said in the Bible about what took place there. From the time that they got in there and they got settled in the land, they started exceedingly, multiplying exceedingly. That's what it tells us. For 17 years, they were multiplying and all the things were taking place. In those 17 years, there's no doubt they faced some obstacles. For 17 years, I mean, Jacob now, getting elderly, and he's trying to fit into Egypt, and he's got his son. And no doubt he is wanting to make up for lost time. Well, Joseph still had a job to do. Joseph was still having to oversee the entire economic procedures in the land of Egypt. He still had to govern Egypt. He had all this going on, but I imagine that Jacob would have started asking for more of his time, and he would have been for 17 years looking to his son. And we find that as everything that we understand about what took place is that Joseph was caring for and honoring his father. No doubt there would have been some family problems. No doubt there was this one rearing up against this one, and there was this situation and that situation and all the things going on. And the Bible didn't go into detail with that. It just says 17 years now have passed. How many of you have been married at least 17 years? How many can attest in those 17 years, a lot can take place in 17 years. There's a lot of struggles, there's a lot of battles, there's a lot of victories as well as defeats. How many of you had children for at least 17 years? I guarantee you, you're able to say, boy, in 17 years, there have been a lot of battles, there's been a lot of things, situations, and we had to deal with a whole lot there. Well, fast forward that, but understand that those things were taking place. 17 years. The Bible helps us to understand that. They had God's blessings. Joseph continued to have God's blessings. One of the reasons that he continued to have God's blessings, there's no doubt, is because he honored his father. He honored his family. Ephesians in chapter 6, I want you to see this. Because now it's coming to the end of his father's life. He's preparing for that. The way to prepare for the death of your parents is to honor them while you can. Do what God would have you do for them. In Ephesians, and you know the verse fairly well, I'm sure. We use it for children and understand that children better be obeying their parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, it says this, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's a promise? Verse 3, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's a promise. And God says, if you want my blessings upon your life, do what you need to do. One of the things that we need to do in getting things aligned up to have God's blessings on our lives, if we have parents, we're to honor them. Joseph had God's blessings. He continued to have God's blessings. Jacob now is being honored by his son Joseph, that God positioned to be a blessing to Israel. God positioned him to be a blessing to his father. And so no doubt in 17 years, there might have been some times when Joseph was thinking, I don't know if this is a good thing or not, having them live in the land. I've got the responsibility of taking care of them. I've got to answer to Pharaoh as far as why they're not paying tribute, and I've got to convince him that it's the right thing to do. I've got to answer to all the other Egyptians that are wondering, how's come we had to sell our property, and how's come we had, why is all this taking place, and yet showing partiality to the Hebrews? No doubt, 17 years, there was issues. And yet he remained faithful to treating Israel how God wanted him to treat Israel. The whole purpose for him being in that position was so that he would be able to care for Israel and honor his father. He had that position. We find that Joseph first obeyed his father. We don't have time to go back and study it, but you know it. He didn't want to have to report back to Dad concerning the rest of the boys. He knew that if he did that, he'd be in trouble with the other brothers. He knew that if he was faithful to his father, that it would mean losing some of the friendship with his own brothers and sisters. It means that if he's going to do what his dad wants him to do and what God wants him to do, he might be the least favorite among all the boys, as far as the boys are concerned. But he obeyed his father. And it cost him. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. But he obeyed his father. Didn't think about the consequences. Didn't think of how many friends he'd lose if he did what mom and dad wanted him to do. Didn't think about the friends that he would lose by doing right by God and honoring his parents. I think he was focused on the first commandment with promise. Promising that I'll do my part. I'm just looking to God to bless. Obedience. But now he's not a child. He no longer is underneath the authority of his father. He's got his own family, established his own family in Egypt. And yet God was still going to work through him to honor his father. He continues to honor him. Now listen, Jacob was 147 years old when he's preparing to die. He was 130 when he got there. 17 years. From 130 to 147. Do you think he would have been set in his ways? I think all of us can realize, I don't want to be offensive to anybody here tonight, but when you get older, you get set in your ways. And as you get older, the reality of it is that you start losing some brain cells. Memory's not as sharp. You might repeat yourself a little more often. The truth of it is, the older we get, the more selfish we become. It's just because you're not really able to think a whole lot. You just want to have what you want when you want it. He was possibly failing a little bit. 147, he has a right to fail a little bit. What's going on? Amen? Yeah. A little bit childish, maybe even. I think as you get older, you revert back to your childhood. I don't know why that is. I just know that is. Most of the time, that's how it is. But he honored him. Honor is an expression of respect, to esteem, He no longer was under his authority that he had to obey, but he was under the position to honor. For a believer, this honoring your parents, it is according to God's will. For God is to be honored first. And sometimes by honoring your parents, you can't do what they ask you to do, especially if they don't really understand what they're asking you to do. So you're not obligated to obey, you're obligated to honor, to esteem them for the position that they hold in your life. And sometimes we have to make some decisions that is really not popular with our elderly parents, but yet we know it is what's best for them according to the will of God for our lives and their lives. So we have to get to this place understanding here that, wait a minute, first and foremost, I need to honor the Lord. It's the same way in marriage. There's certain times that spouse is not doing what God wants them to do, and you can't honor their sin, and you can't condone their sin, because by condoning their sin and going the way they want you to go, you're not honoring God. And so you're in a position here. What do I do? Can I tell you, as a believer, you must honor God first. Because that's what the other person has need of more than anything else. When your children want to make decisions that are not the right decisions, I can't support them in wrong decisions because I am not honoring Christ in the position He has given to me to be the authority over my child. I'm to raise them as God wants them to be raised. So in order to honor God, I've got to do what God wants me to do. I have to understand His will for their lives and represent God to them. The very same thing when it comes to even our parents as they get older, I've got to look to God and ask for God's wisdom, for God's grace, for God's understanding, that I might honor them by doing what's best for them. Wow. But that's the first command with promise. We have to do what we know to be best according to God's will. Not necessarily what they want you to do. Because sometimes what they want you to do, they don't know what they're asking. They don't understand. You honor them. But you honor God first. 17 years. I don't know all the situation. I just know at 147 years of age, I guarantee you there was some of these things taking place. But now Joseph realizes that his dad's going to die. The hardest thing for you to deal with when you lose a loved one is to think that you failed them. You don't want to be there. You don't want to stand over the casket of a loved one and realize that I should have done more. Should have been more of the child. I should have honored them more. Should have had a greater respect and love. Maybe I should have raised them differently than I did. They might not have been to the place where they've taken their own lives, or to the place where they maybe overdosed with alcohol or drugs or whatever it might have been. You don't want to be there. You want to know that you've done everything that you could to give them the best opportunity to love God and to have God's blessings upon their lives. Because more than they need your blessings, they need God's blessings. So now we find here that Jacob, after these 17 years, the Bible fast forwards his 17 years, and the Bible says in verse 29, and the time drew nigh that Israel, and I didn't say it was going to, must die. Must die. So Joseph has to accept the fact that his father must die. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it goes through and tells us the time for everything. But the one thing that I use often at funerals, and I guess I deal with death all the time with people and trying to get them through some of these hard times. There's a time to be born. And if you've been born, there's a time that you must die. And what's important is what we do with the life that God gives us, whether it's a few minutes, a few years. But we will die. Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 27 reveals to us it's appointed to man. It's appointed. That means it's going to happen. It's appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. Every parent needs to realize there's going to come a day. Now, I trust it's going to be after I die, but my children will die. Have I done everything I can to prepare them for death? Every child needs to understand that their parents will die. Have I done everything that I can do to honor them while they live? Death is a reality. It's a reality. It's appointed a man wants to die. We know because of Romans in chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, because of Adam's sin, man was not created to die. Man was created to live. But after sin, the curse of sin, the punishment for sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But because of sin, the sin nature, we will die. I don't think we ought to dwell on it. Some people, that's all they think about. They get this in their mind. They're thinking, oh no, my child's going to die one day. Or my parents are going to die one day. You know, or my husband, my wife's going to die one day. I don't think we ought to dwell upon it. But it ought to motivate us to do what we can concerning God's will for that relationship. That's important. We shouldn't be surprised or devastated by it when it comes. When it does come, God has given us promises. God has given us that which takes a sting out of death. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Last Sunday morning, I preached on how God wants us to view our physical bodies. This Sunday, I'm going to preach on how God wants us to view our glorified bodies. It's a blessing to see that. And it's just a little advertisement there, I guess, for you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He has given us a way, a design, in how we ought to view our physical bodies. And He's given us a design in how we ought to view our glorified bodies. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 53. For this corruptible, and look right here, do you see this? Must. It must put on incorruption. After you've been saved, it's going to happen. And this mortal must put on immortality. Must. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall he be brought to pass a saying that is written, death, listen to me, is swallowed up in victory. That's the only comfort in death is life. And that's why every parent ought to first of all consider making sure that I've got given my child every chance possible. I've done everything I can to make sure that they come to that place where they will receive Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. Because they will die one day, and the comfort that you'll have, no matter when that takes place, if you're still around, is to know that they're still alive. The comfort that you're going to find when you stand at the casket of your parent, and I trust that, I believe that's the way it's designed, the parents should die before the children. One of the hardest things it would be for a parent was to have to bury one of their children. There's no doubt about that. But we don't get to choose that. And so what we do get to choose is how we prepare for that. It's going to take place. One of the greatest blessings in my life concerning my mother is the night before she passed away, not knowing that she was going to die that very night. I remember the words right before I left, and I didn't think a lot about it at the time, but that's what God's brought back to me ever since. My mom says, "Danny, I'm proud of you." That I was a pastor, that I was preaching, and I was actually her pastor. And I remember just smiling and said, "Well, thank you, Mom." Not knowing that's the last words my mom would ever say to me. That prepared me for God taking her home. Prepared me for that. You're going to face that day one, that time one day. Are you honoring your parents? Start now. We know not what a day may bring. He says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory over death is life, eternal life. But he must die. Now Joseph is understanding that his father is going to die. He must die. And Joseph, because the last act to honor his father asking, "Promise me, don't bury me in Egypt." And Joseph promises to bury Jacob in the land of his fathers, the promised land of Canaan. A reminder for Joseph and all of Israel that God had a future promise for them, and Egypt was not their home. Jacob understood, my last testimony to my children is my memorial. And I want them to realize that Egypt is not our home. And Joseph, you're the only one that can make this happen. We've been in Egypt 17 years. Pharaoh's going to want to honor you, and he's going to want to make a big deal out of my funeral. He's going to want to have it all and all the Egyptians and have an Egyptian funeral. He said, "That's not happening. Honor me. Promise, swear that you'll not bury me in Egypt." What a testimony. I think that every person needs to be aware of their final testimony. I think that it's important that we have a funeral service and that the message is preached and that everyone there realizes that that person who's in the casket is not in that casket. And they wanted you to know that. And I do my best to present this in every funeral that I preach concerning a saved loved one that's laying in that casket. I'm telling them, don't view your loved one in this casket. They're not there. They're not. Much better place. The only true peace that you'll find in death is in life. He knew that. Jacob knew that. And so he said, "I want this to be a testimony to you. I want it to be a testimony to all of my seed." Because he knew that God's promise was to his seed. A grave is for remembrances. The memorial for Jacob was for his seed, not for the Egyptians. Many go to gravesites. If you do, that's fine. I choose not to. Now, every now and then, if I'm doing a funeral, a graveside service, and it's close to one of my loved ones, my family, my mom and dad, I'll walk by, I might view it. That's what it's there for, though. It's for you to go back, if you choose, and remember their life. Remember that, their testimony. That's why you have a gravesite. That's why you have a place there. I choose just to bring it back up my mind and think of them in heaven. I don't think of them in that grave. But sometimes you need a place to go to bring back the memories. And I believe that's what Jacob was doing here. I want you to realize, I'm not in Egypt. I'm in the promised land that God's promised us. The Lord's given us communion to remember Him. We also have an empty tomb, but very seldom, very few can actually go over to Israel to view the empty tomb. But if I was there and I viewed it, I would think of a resurrected Savior. One of the things He has given us is a cross. I believe a cross like that. Every time I see a cross, I think of it's where Christ was crucified. But I don't leave Him on the cross. The cross can be a reminder that He was crucified on that, and then the empty cross is a reminder that He's resurrected. He's no longer on that cross. But it reminds us. Christ established the communion, praise the Lord for it, for the church to remember. Joseph was so impacted by his father's faith and testimony that he likewise, because of his same faith and testimony, made this very same request. Let's close with this. Chapter 50, I want you to see this. Chapter 50. Verse 24 and verse 25. Now Joseph's coming to the end of his life. And it will change once Joseph leaves, dies, because Pharaoh dies. The Pharaoh that respected Joseph and Joseph's testimony is God. And things will change drastically after this. But Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. I die. It's not something to fear. When you're saved, it's not something to let control us. It's not something that we ought to be surprised over or devastated by. Because God's taken the sting out. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Now he knew because of his position there that it would have to be delayed. He would have to have somewhat of an Egyptian burial because of what position he had. But he said, take my bones when you leave. Because my testimony is, Egypt's not my home. Egypt's not my home. I have a promised land that God has given to our seed. So Joseph honored his father, honored his parents. The best way you can prepare for death, honor. Honor. And then prepare for it. Don't have it focus on it. But be aware. I think it'll help us in fulfilling God's will in the position that we have in other people's lives.